Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Message. Watermark is a generational community that is crazy passionate about starting a conversation about God, your relationships, and authentic love. If you're interested in getting more information, please click the link in the show notes for next steps. Thanks again for listening. It's our hope and prayer that this message would transform your life.
We have said about this series, Sending the Generation, the tagline of the series is moving from, if you build it, they will come, to, here I am, Lord, send me. And that line, that first half of the line, of course, is from an epic movie, Field of Dreams. Just if you don't know what I'm talking about, get in the car on your way home and watch the preview, the trailer, and it'll probably just change your whole world. It's a classic sports film. Okay, but the mentality of that line, if we build it, they will come. Honestly, candidly, it's kind of how the church has built its entire name for the last about 50 years, the modern church, the postmodern church. If you build this amazing structure and get lots of extra fog machines, and you have two of the most trendy pastors in North America, and you build up all these things, people will just, you know, they'll flock from near and far. And to be honest, it worked for a lot of people. I'm not going to knock it all the way. It really worked, man. I mean, people came to church. They set foot in a church they never would have gone to church before. And they just said, well, this place is so inviting. And it feels like, like a modern living room. And it's not like any church I've ever been to. And God used it. It's true. It's real. And he's still using it today. But the idea is that we don't purely and only count on the structures around us to be the church. We move into a heart, a spirit that says, here I am, Lord, send me. Now, Bucky, I was on my way, a familiar route I take every day to get to church, whether it be the office or Sunday on Paularino Street. And some of our neighbors, there's a business here that work with a storage company called Good Deeds. They're movers. They run these trucks. And I've gotten to meet some of these guys, over the last couple of years. And I understand that a lot of them to be the working poor. You know, the guys riding on their bike and they're just hoping to get a job today. It'd be one of the movers, cash paying job, you know. I see these guys all lined up on the curb this morning, and I just think to myself, unless we move out of the building, we'll never reach all these people. Now, if it's just the staff who are trying to do it, no, we need all of us, the worldwide body of believers, to say, here I am, Lord, I'm ready, I'm willing, send me. And that's kind of what we want to celebrate this morning as we talk about the generations.
Yeah, as God sends us out every week, whether that's to our workplaces, our neighborhoods, back to our families, whatever that might be, you know, he sends us to the generations. He sends us to folks that are younger than us, that are coming up, the next generation that we're reaching out to or blessing, or he sends us to people that have come before us to bless them and to encourage them. And so we're all a part of this generational thing that's always happening. The word that maybe our world calls it is succession. You know, in the corporate world, we have succession. A leader who's grown up and has done his work, now he passes the baton to a younger leader and blesses and encourages that leader. So succession happens in the workplace. Succession happens in our family as one generation passes on, the values of a family, what we think and what we do, our faith even, through a family system of generations. It happens in the church. It happens through relationships that are mentoring and wise and counseling as one generation blesses the other generation. And so this is what we're about. This is what our culture is about. And we're all a part of this sent to the generations. And we want to talk about that this morning because this has been something that God has put on our heart this year at Watermark. Every year we go away as an elder team and we ask God to give us a verse to show us what we're supposed to focus on this year. And the vision of our church is to build a generational community that flourishes in God conversations and the authentic love of Christ. And this year, uniquely, God has said to the elder team, it's the word generation that we're going to focus on. We want to be a generational church. And that's happening, you know, between Ben and I. We're in this succession season where I'm taking the things that God's given me and the church leadership, being the senior leader, and passing it on to him. And he's going to be taking the baton here in January, and he'll become the lead pastor, and I'm going to work for him. Oh, my gosh. Is that scary? Wow. I gave him the keys to the car, and I'm staying in the car. That's crazy.
That's right. You're going nowhere, buddy. You're right here with me.
That's right. So, but it's happening here. It's happening in our culture. It's happening everywhere. And it's really, really important because if we don't get this generational thing well in the church, if we don't do it well, there's not going to be a church in the future. You know, the next generation so needs the great truth of the gospel, so needs the encouragement of God's Spirit, so needs to have God's Word. And we need to share that together. And that's what we're all about. And it's about being sent with a blessing. We go to the generations before us or after us with a blessing. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, to be sent with a blessing. All of us are a part of this, and God sends us out to be a blessing. And what does that look like? I want to talk about three aspects of being a blessing to the generations, whether it's in your family, with your kids, whether it's with your parents, whether it's in your organization with mentoring and young folks, whether it's in your community. God sends us to be a blessing to the generations. The verse that God has given us this year, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is faithful. His love endures throughout all the generations. God is a generational God. You cannot read the story of the Bible without seeing the generations' blessing. And how are we sent with the blessing? The first word we want to talk about is honor. Honor. God sends us to honor the generations. The biblical word for honor means to give weight or value. I'm going to give weight and value to you. Matter. You make a difference. There's a unique inheritance that God gave your generation that is important for me to understand and learn. There's a unique calling and inheritance on Ben's generation that I need to understand and learn. It's a mutual thing. We learn to bless each other as we work together generously. And the first word is honor. And for me and Ben and my relationship as I work with him, I think that honor word means to believe. Ben needs me to believe in his calling, in his future, in his gifts, in the difference he's going to make as I pass the baton to him. He needs me to be his champion, to stand with him through the mountains and the valleys, and to walk beside him, and to tell him how much he matters to God, what his calling is doing, and to bless that calling in future. That's what God's called me to do as a spiritual father, not to him, but to all the young men that God puts in my midst. To be a spiritual father and to believe in their calling in the future. I meet with young men. I stand with them. And whether it's their marriage or their calling in their work, I believe in them because God has a special future for them and a special hope for them. And they need the previous generation to believe in them. I love Jesus, how he did that so well. You know, when Jesus was traveling around the Galilee, when he first began his ministry, The guys that he called to be around him, they were really young guys. They're like in their 20s. He's like 30 years old. He's calling these young 19, 20-year-old kids to come alongside him. And these guys are fishermen. They're working in their father's business. They're just trying to grind it out every day and put food on the table and deal with all this difficult challenge. Their culture's oppressed by the Roman oppression. They have a tough life. And Jesus comes alongside them and says, come follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. Come follow me. And when a rabbi said that, it said, I believe in you. I believe you can become like me. I believe in your future and calling. He said that to Peter. Peter, you're a fisherman, but you're going to be a fisher of men. He didn't just see Peter as he was. He saw him at what he's going to be. And that's what we're called to do as we bless, to see Ben's future and to see the blessing he's going to be in that future with God's calling in his life.
Thank you, Bucky. I think that I've learned so much about honor from you and the men that God put around you. And I want to talk about those people that he sent you and who you've also gathered, those fishermen. But you guys should just know that what I love and want to honor about your generation is this hard work, this loyalty, this commitment or covenant. And really, for the last 20-plus years, Bucky and his wife Kathleen have worked tirelessly to honor people, to honor marriages and kids. Really, you know, many people think that the pastor basically takes about 5 or 6 days and sits in their office and prepares a message, you know, kind of twiddles their thumbs and their whole life revolves around getting a message ready, right? No, these guys have fought and bled in the trenches of real life issues, in real world problems as a unit. And I just have to honor the two of them. That's what I've got to see, even long before I had this job as just a son-in-law. I could watch to see the issues to this very year that they've had to fought through and battle through. And one of the ways they've done that is have these great roots of faith I'm going to talk about in a minute. But the other way they've been able to do that is God has surrounded you with these great men, these guys who, you know, I won't get all their names right, but we have basically 10 elders at large, elders of fancy biblical word for leader. And they are the co-shepherds. They lead this group alongside us. And they have helped tooth and nail get this church ready. And they've adapted with us. Every single time we had to set up a chair or a tent, they were there. And the only phrase I can think of to describe this group of men is blood brothers. You know? That's who they've been. And these blood brothers reminds me of something that actually Jesus said in John chapter 15. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." What did he do? He poured out his blood. That's the most intense, real form of love you could ever offer someone. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I've watched the previous generation that has gone before me do that. That's my prayer. That's my hopeful goal. I ask God, "God, who are you sending to be blood brothers like that?" And just apply that if you're in women's ministry or you're a gal today, who are the women and the ladies that God is going to surround you with so you can be strong, so you can go into battles in the trenches? You know, this love is not an emotion, okay, guys? Let me just tell you something. This love is not just a feeling. This love, as I was preparing even this very morning for today's message, I was reminded of this word, this old Hebrew word. It's so famous in the Old Testament. You have to know what this word is. And I'm going to make you repeat it after me. Are you ready? You just do it, all right? You just get ready because this is a participatory environment here. The word is chesed. Say chesed. Now, I say it a little bit more like chesed. Okay, it's a terrible time to be hawking loogies, so all of you guys just need to watch that. But that is the actual way that you say it. And this word is another word for love, but it's not just love. It's faithful love, covenant love, arms-linking, battle-ready love that stands on commitments and loyalty and promises. I have watched in my generation young people be decimated by saying one thing and doing another thing. I'm praying to Jesus that a generation will be lifted up that says, "I say what I will do and I do what I said I would do." And that's about chesed. That is covenant love. And I've watched that and seen that around you. And these men, now I get to sit with them when we have these elder meetings. And it's like a glory just to sit with these guys. It's a delight because the honor of covenant love just kind of permeates in the room. And I love that about your generation. And I'm praying that happens more into my generation.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. You know, that's why we try to break down the church into smaller groups. And we have men's groups and women's groups. And we gather together and we honor one another. We love one another. We serve one another. We pray for one another. We bless one another. And so, you know, if you're feeling isolated or alone out there, you don't have that kind of community, we would love to help you find that. Because having that group of men or women to walk with you, to bless you, to be a part of that generational blessing is such a powerful thing. But the second thing that requires from us is we're sent with a blessing is humility. It's not just honor, it's humility. And I just see such a tragedy many times when the generations don't appreciate each other. We see such a divide many times in our culture, where one generation just pushes away from the generation before that, and there's a sever, there's a break, and they don't care about the past, and they think the past is archaic, and they don't want to be controlled by the past and say, "Hey, give me the keys to the car, and by the way, you're not going with me, I'm heading off," right? And there's a generation that's the old generation that says, "I know better than you, and you know, you're just a dumb kid, and you know, you don't know what you're doing," and they just criticize the younger generation. It creates this divide, and ultimately it comes from pride. Comes from pride. And I just want to, as the Bible says, clothe myself with humility. You know, we are to go to one another clothed with humility. And for me, with Ben, that means I come to learn. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. There's favor in that humility. There's blessing. And as I come with a teachable spirit, Ben has a lot to teach me. I have a lot to learn from this man and what his generation knows, actually. Not just the technology, because I can't even figure out my iPad. Ben, can you push this button so I can even figure out what's going on? He's my IT guy. But what it is his values. The values of the generation are different than my generation. And you know what? My generation had some values that were a little off kilter. They were a little out of control. And it was about performance. It was about perfection. It was about achieving, and this overachievement did a lot of damage to my generation. And Ben has different values. His values are more balanced. His values are for family. Family first. Relationships matter. You know, he has a different value system of what success looks like, and it's healthier. And I've learned a lot from that. And so generations, they come with an inheritance that it's important for all of us to learn from. And I'm blessed to be with a younger generation of folks because they have a lot to teach me. And it's awesome.
I love that you use that word health, Bucky, because as we define humility, you guys, as lifelong learners, and by the way, that's a church value. You know, if we do this every once a year, we do kind of a family membership mini-series, and you'll learn of all the hundreds of values we could have chosen, and the top 10 in there is committed to lifelong learning. We're never done learning. So teachability is this huge value, but health specifically is one of the things that you've imparted to me, spiritual health, emotional health. There was a book, you guys, you know, I would never be prepared to be any kind of leader at this church if it weren't for the things I've learned these last 2 years alone from you, let alone the 10 years that preceded that. And particularly, there was one book. This book I found about 3 years ago changed my life. It's a book called, half of you heard me talk about it all the time, but it's a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by a guy named Pete Scazzaro. You want to know where I found that book? It was about a 5 or 6 year old edition sitting on this man's bookshelf. And I come to him and I say, Bucky, you won't believe what this guy's saying. It's amazing. It's changing my heart from the inside out. See, I was running around, guys, on my phone, on a screen, whatever it was, consuming 3 to 5 hours of data, that input. You know that input has to go somewhere? It doesn't just bounce off the eyes and then go back into the stratosphere. No, it goes somewhere. It gets deposited into the tank of the soul or the heart. And I realized that even after 3 hours of scrolling, when I got home in the door, what happened? With my 8 babies at home, a wave of input, sights, sounds, things that need to draw my attention in. And this input overload was doing destruction to my heart, to my soul. I had to stop one of them, and one of those was not optional. I had to draw a line for one of those things. And thank God, I learned to regulate some of that inner journey stuff, some of that soul care stuff, as a direct result of being under your tutelage, under your discipleship. You pointed me to these guys. Bucky says, yeah, that's really cool, Ben. We went through that book as a church about 15 years ago. I mean, it's amazing what can happen when you humble yourself low enough to receive, that you're not done learning. There's a book that I just recently became aware of, Dallas Willard's writings, famous, brilliant, way beyond. I have to read his stuff over and over again. He wrote this book called Knowing Christ Today. And he's getting into this chapter where he's talking about some spiritual practices, habits for believers to walk in the kingdom, to walk with Jesus every day. And yeah, he talks about silence and solitude and stillness. And that's good, but he also sets up the entire framework by saying you have to be committed to being a student. This is what he says. He says, we have to learn, keyword in italics, to do the things that eliminate distractions and keep our whole being focused upon constant companionship with Christ in our nows, everyday stuff. Everyday fires we're putting out, every year crisis that come along. You don't have to go and live in the forest amongst the rest of the monks to do this. No, you can abide with Christ today in a settled spirit that is partnering with him all the time. But he says that the key thing is being a student. And to come to him in faith is to enroll as his what? Disciple. It is constantly to go to school under his tutelage. Anything less than that simply misses him and reveals we do not actually have faith in him. Ouch. That one stings a little bit for me. And that's the life I was living before these last couple years. Rushing, breakneck speed. And a guy we had up here, he came and he talked. He was just here to talk about Sabbath, which means like a day off, rest, right? And he said, Jesus was relaxed. I'll never forget it. Blew me apart. I sat there. I sat right over there at a round table right before COVID. And I just was shook to my core because I couldn't describe myself as relaxed. The only way I would have gotten to that revelation is by humbling myself to a point to say, you know what, discipleship, as fancy as a word as that is, it just means a student. And I just want to speak to every generation in the room right now, whether you're young, class is in session. Whether you're a believer, you've been a believer for 40 years and you're 60 plus years old, guess what? Class is still in session. Humility is such a key component to sending faith across generations.
Yeah, that disciple thing is so important, and a lot of it is the way we model that humility. It's not just, like, Christianity is more than it is taught, it's caught. And it's the example of a parent, it's the way the parent lives his life in front of their children that it really becomes real. It's the way a boss lives his life in front of the next generation leader. It's the values that we carry, and this value of discipleship and sitting at the feet of Jesus and prayer and contemplative, well, that all comes from my mom. I learned that from my mother. My mother is a prayer person. She has incredible intimacy with God, and she's been praying for me my whole life. And I learned to pray from her. I caught it from her. She never taught me how to do it. I just watched her do it. I watched her open the scriptures. I watched her talk about God's word. It just came out of her life. And so it's come to me, and now it's come to Ben. So it just flows through the generations. And that's what we're here. We're here to be humble learners and pass that humility on. We can learn from each other in that. And the third idea of going with a blessing is we want to go with the blessing of partnership. Partnership. You know, as Ben said, I'm not just passing the baton of leadership to him and walking away. We're partnering together. We're changing seats on the bus, but the bus is going in the same direction, right? We're on the bus together because it's a generational bus. I mean, when you open up the scriptures and you see the original promise to Abraham for some beyond thousands of years ago, and you see that promise come to a nation, right? Under Moses, you see the covenant promises come through the prophets and the writings. You see that promise come through even exile and back into the land. You see that promise come through the birth of Jesus and God organizing disciples around him, and then the birth of the church and the New Testament and thousands of years. There's a generational promises that goes all the way through it, and we get to partner together in that promise. Ben and I and you guys with your families, with the next generations, you're building something that lasts. Right? It's not just about building an institution or building a foundation that you're going to put your name on. You're talking about something eternally that's going to last. And because of that generational blessing, those that know Jesus that are a part of his family are going to be together forever. I'm going to be in heaven with Ben and my daughters. As I pray for my grandchildren in seven generations, I pray for the hope of salvation and God's grace to fill their lives. I thank you that when I bury my mom and dad, I get to say, not goodbye, but see you later. I'm going to see you in the Father's house. This is the greatest blessing that we get to partner in, the gospel. And all of us, a church is a partnership in the gospel. It takes the baton of faith from one generation. It shares it with the next. It celebrates it together. And that's what we're here to do. We're a family of generations, and we get to partner together in something that's eternal. We never retire from that. We might retire from our jobs. We might retire from parenting because our kids are older, but we never retire from partnering together in the gospel. And that is an amazing gift and an amazing promise.
It is. And as I think about partnership, I think about the need for more spiritual fathers and mothers. If I can for a second be so bold as to represent an entire generation, I would just say that's one of the things we really sorely badly need today. You know, as we've already talked about so much this morning, family just emanates from this place. We decided a couple years ago to plaster it on the front wall when you walk in the church. First thing you see, family here. And even then, I realized that for some people, that would be an obstacle, you know? Because we come from family systems that were broken backwards, a lot of hurt. And instead of raising these strong, confident, secure sons and daughters, we got a little bit of an orphan spirit in us. You know, just even to a certain percentage, small percentage, family will always have this incomplete and broken idea. But all the more need for partnership through spiritual moms and dads. You know why we need that so badly today? It's two simple words. Hear the words. Prolonged adolescence. You ever heard that phrase before? I read about it this last week in a Christianity Today article. Just this profound neuroscientific study.
I know some
study guys
in my generation that are still in that adolescence.
If you're past age 25 you're still in prolonged adolescence, there might be a problem. But these researchers suggest that adolescent phase, you know, that key part of human development, it's now not just for the teenage years, but prolonging into age 25 and maybe sometimes beyond, 10 to 25 plus. And these researchers are finding that during that period, you know what's so incredible about the brain? The brain is something called plastic. You guys know what that means, right? You guys know plastic? No, none of us do. It's the weirdest word ever to describe your brain. It means your brain is learning. Actually, that's an incomplete definition. It means that your brain is learning how to learn. Is that insane? If you know, they always say that you're learning to read, and then the rest of your life you're reading to learn. Did you track with me as I just said that? Yeah, you learn to read. That's why it's so critical that our elementary schools and our students in our backyard, who are three grades below their equivalency, is so important that we partner with them and the next generation. Why do I always talk about fifth graders? My heart just crazy. I don't know why. I just woke up 3 weeks ago, and I'm here to talk about fifth graders. All my earliest memories start as a 10-year-old. You know, that's like the premier age when someone in a room, a classroom across the hall, is now making a decision for Jesus. It is the primary and premier age when people are going to meet Jesus. Some of our earliest memories. And it's where we're learning. It's the human development stage where we're learning how to learn. But not just that, not just functional skills for every day. We're forming a worldview, how we think about what happens in the world. I just, by a quick census, by a quick raise of hands, if you agree with me, that you agree that like no other time in our history, there is zero agreement about truth, about what's true in the world. Do we have zero agreement about what can possibly be true in the world? No, we got no idea how to separate fact from fiction. It makes the need, you guys, for spiritual mothers and fathers so much more important. You know, this whole idea, this neuroscience explanation of what's happening in our brains, Jesus knew about. Now, he knew about it. He knew it all the way back in Matthew 18. Look what he said when he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you churn from your sins," that's what repent means, to churn, a lifestyle change, "and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child," Jesus brought a kid into his midst, which would have been an absolute shame and a scorn and a humiliation, to use that word, in that century, to be a grown adult and hanging with a kid. And Jesus blesses this child and says, actually, we need to raise up a generation that has childlike faith, who knows how to separate fact from fiction, who knows truth when they see it, and can be a representative of truth in a world that says there is no more truth. That's why we need spiritual mothers and fathers, to raise up spiritual sons and daughters. The brains of these young adults, even some probably 30-somethings that I know in my generation, it's not just critical because of decision-making and risk-taking and emotional control, even socialization. What's that? It's just a high-tech word for relationships. Why? Why is there such a wake of bodies behind us now? Because we don't know how to do healthy conflict. We don't know how to have an honest conversation and reconcile. Such toxic standards we're setting for relational health. But Jesus says, become like a child. Trust me. Be honest about your needs as a child would be. And become like a child. Become a trusting son or daughter. We're praying. We're praying for a generation at every age. It doesn't just take you don't have to be 40 or 50 or 60 to be a spiritual mother or father. You can be a spiritual mother or father as a 21-year-old, as a teenager, to someone who's in fifth grade, or to maybe who's cross-generationally or who's a new believer and they're 50, whatever it is. We're praying in Jesus' name for spiritual fathers and mothers to be raised up.
Yeah. So I guess what we want to say to you guys this morning as we kind of close our time together and ask what God's saying to our church in this verse, in this season of thankfulness, is that really, your generation matters. It really matters. And we're here to bless that. We're here to encourage that. We're here to have you understand that God sends you out to make this blessing difference within the generations that you see every day as you live, work, and play in Orange County. And what might that mean? I'm so thankful for Andy, our men's pastor. What it meant for him was, I'm going to do a men's event, and we're going to get the younger generation, the older generation together. We're going to play games, and we're going to build relationships. Because we want to learn from each other. We want to encourage each other. We want to build this bridge. And it's just a heartbeat of our church. And so we're here. Maybe you're a young person here and you go, man, I'd love to have a mentor in my life. There's somebody I need to bounce ideas off. I want to grow and learn. And man, we have a lot of seasoned veterans that I know. And I would love to help you find somebody that would love to coach you and be involved in your life. That's one of the greatest things that I get to do, is meet with young guys and try to encourage them. Maybe if you're a member of my generation saying, wow, you know, I feel like, my time's over in the church. I'm not relevant anymore. What do I do? Well, gosh, there's a lot of work to be done. And I would love to talk to you about how I can encourage you and we can engage you. There's so many folks that need your wisdom, your input, and just somebody to listen to, somebody to bless them. Maybe that's in your workplace, that God's calling you to look at the generations around you and get involved in encouraging and blessing and building that bridge. Or it's in your family system. It's honoring your mother and father. Or it's continuing to bless your kids with some of these values and principles that we've talked about here this morning. But what we want to say is, you guys make a difference. And God is sending you to be a blessing. And we're here to encourage that and to be with you in that this morning.
Absolutely, you guys. This is a time. As the band comes up, we're going to pray. Bucky's going to pray for the generations. I'm going to pray for the generations. And I just want to say, since Bucky lays that out so practically, that if you go to watermarkoc.com/contact, just put in the comment section, just put generations. And we'll follow up with you about whatever your need is, whether you have a question about being a mentor, or you want to be mentored, whatever the relationship is. Just do that today. Don't put that off any longer. It's going to make a huge difference in people's lives, you guys. We have so many stories. Again, a lot of these things we would keep private and not name names, but the stories that have come across our desk just this last week of people of every generation taking their own lives, giving up on the battle of depression or anxiety or hopelessness or despair, just to this very last week. I'm typically a glass half full guy, and that can be to a fault, because I run around with rose-colored glasses, you know, thinking everything's good, everything's peaceable, and we're kind of climbing out of this thing, and so we're all in the safe and clear. But you know what? 7 months later, people are still sick and dying from a multitude of illnesses, right? Not just the one that we're all talking about. And the one thing that we've been reminded of and learned from this season is that tomorrow is not guaranteed. So if that's you, and you want to be served by entering into a relationship and being poured into, don't miss another day. Go to a website. Just go to the stinking website and fill out the details and see what God has for you. And if you have even the slightest bit of margin and you want to be the one pouring into someone, don't waste another day. There's someone standing by who needs to be encouraged and pulled out of that hole of despair and slanted views and discouragement. And that can be you. You can do that. So we're going to pray.
Awesome. Would you guys stand with us? We'd just like to pray a blessing over you. And just bow your heads and maybe open your hands, because I just want the Lord to just put his favor upon you, put his grace upon you, fill you with the blessing, because he loves you. He loves you, and he loves you so much he knew before you were born what you would be. He formed your inward parts, and he knew every part about you, the unique giftings and calling, and he sent you as ambassadors of his love. He sent his son to die for you and to bring you back into relationship, to bless you so that you could go and be a blessing to the generations. And so, Jesus, I ask for the parents in this room that are trying to love their kids, those moms that work so tirelessly, those dads that come home empty and want to be full, Lord, that you'd fill them with grace and mercy and value and hope and partnership. And Father, I pray for the teachers that are doing such a tremendous job, the Zoom stuff that's so difficult, the hard getting kids back in classrooms. They're pouring themselves out. Would you pour a blessing into their lives? Would you give them hope? Would you help them see the future of the generations and bring a blessing to those generations? And fathers, I pray for the businessmen here, the men who go, that are entrepreneurial, that create businesses and partnerships, and they're recruiting and training the next generation. That you'd give them the values of great, great integrity and honor, and may they be able to bless the next generation of workers with a leadership value that is going to bring flourishing to our land and our economy. Oh, Father, bless the generations in this room. Bring hope and healing and purpose. We thank you for the victory. We thank you that it's been won in Jesus, and we celebrate. We sing of that victory, and we live in that victory as we take your blessing to the generations.
Yep. Such a good word, Lord, victory. So many of us during this time, and it's such a slog, Lord, to make it to Sunday, to make it through each day, to make it through one day, Monday, where the world and the influences outside of you and outside of your word are trying to form us and form us and form us. And eventually, God, we are formed into a mentality of defeat. We believe that we're leading and we're living from a seat of defeat. But as Bucky just prayed, Holy Spirit, I know that you want to restore people to a seat of victory. So every single person in here right now, we bless. From every single generation, God, regardless of what they feel about their office, about their position, about their role, about their name, about their status in the family of God, would you absolutely restore their identity to victors in Jesus'
Amen. Yes,
name
Jesus, yes.
Over every single body in here. And I pray specifically, Lord, for those who feel that they're unqualified, for those who are still battling that orphan spirit to this very moment. I know I'm speaking to someone right now. You know who they are, God. I don't know, but I know this is a word for someone this morning, that you would strike down that spirit of orphanhood, and you would strike down that spirit of being disqualified. Whether they've been a believer for a couple months, they've been a believer for a couple years plus, God, remind them they are commissioned and called.
Amen.
They are qualified by you, whether they've read one book of the Bible or one page of the Bible, Jesus. They are ready to be sent with a spirit that says, here I am, Lord, send me, use me. I'm believing that you want to bring victory over the hearts and minds of so many people who are not yet here worshiping with us. So God, we just praise you. We sing a hallelujah. We want to go out on this, our eighth year, Father, singing hallelujah, and going into our ninth year, singing hallelujah. 2020 was not a wash. It was not a net minus, God, because we have victory in Christ Jesus. Who else can say that? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we will never again buy that lie that we have been defeated, God. Please give such hope to every single person here who is battling that defeat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We hope that this message has challenged and encouraged you. If you need prayer, would like to join a small group community, or are interested in partnering with our work throughout Costa Mesa and Orange County, please go to watermarkoc.com. We would love to start a conversation.